This is SB Nation Radio. Here's Joe Spano.
It's great to welcome an old friend to the program, somebody I haven't talked to since last football season. He's from Yahoo Sports. He's Charles Robinson. Charles, nice to talk to you. It's been a long time, my friend.
Yeah, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing just great, man. I think I'm doing a little bit better than the Miami Dolphins right now. They bring in Jay Cutler. I guess it's the best of not many good options. You think this signing really helps them much at all? Your thoughts on Jay Cutler and his addition to the Miami Dolphins quarterback situation?
Well, you said it. I mean, the best of bad options. It's the guy that can step in and be a starter immediately, who's familiar with the offense. You don't have to pay him a ton. I mean, look, $10 million, I know it sounds like a lot, but as far as starting quarterbacks go, $10 million isn't a ton of money. Mike Glennon's making 15 in Chicago this season, so it's actually a pretty cheap option for them, considering it's a guy who has a wealth of starting experience, who does have talent, albeit I think most people would say is probably not necessarily the greatest leader or character on your team historically. But, you know, what else was out there? When you talk about street free agents, usually what you're picking through is guys who really should only be backups on rosters. And, you know, maybe Colin Kaepernick was another guy they could have considered, but there's a whole other range of issues there, plus the fact that he doesn't know the offense and hasn't been in any of their passing camps in this offseason. So it's, I wouldn't say it's an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill. I have heard some people suggest it might be. I don't know if I would go that far, but he has enough talent to go out there and adequately play NFL quarterback. And, you know, if Miami's defense is what it could be, they should still be a team that could at least contend for the playoffs if Cutler just doesn't completely implode this season.
Now, make no mistake, I don't think Matt Moore is the second coming of anything, but he knows this offense perhaps every bit as well as Cutler, if not more. They love him in that locker room, as everybody always loves the backup quarterback. But he's actually in football shape. He spent his entire offseason getting ready to play football. And as we all know, it's a 12-month-a-year job. Jay Cutler's not in football shape. His mindset wasn't there to play football as he was moving on to the next phase of his career, which was broadcasting. Is there any thoughts in your mind that they may be best served, at least initially, starting Matt Moore and only looking to Cutler if the season is spiraling out of control?
Well, they have the preseason to figure that out. I mean, that's the plus. It's not, if it was the first week of September, I'd say, okay, there's panic. You should panic. But they have more than a month, really. They have a month, essentially, to get this straightened out, or at least get enough of a read on Jay Cutler to know whether or not he can take starting snaps as soon as the season begins. I'll say this, of all the positions in the NFL where there's less of a concern about the highest level of fitness, quarterbacks, now granted, there's a sliding scale here, but there are quarterbacks who, you know, aren't guys, they're just not workout warriors. They come in, they look like, you know, guys you might see sitting down at the end of the bar. There's not a lot of those guys anymore, but they're certainly not the you know, absolute high strung. You're not talking about a linebacker or guys that, you know, are going to be at peak 5, 6, 8% body fat. You know, quarterbacks just aren't those guys. So I think what you worry about more with a quarterback is just sort of where his arm's at. Now, if he comes in and is out of shape, and because of the fact that he's out of shape, it puts more pressure on his arm, puts more torque on his arm. You can develop shoulder problems. There are a number of different things that can happen with quarterbacks if they're not throwing pretty consistently in the offseason. So I can see that being the thing that they have to kind of ramp up as you approach the beginning of the regular season. You don't want him hurting his arm, and then you're right back to square one again. So is it out of the question that he's not the starter from day one? I don't think it's out of the question. But again, I think he came out of retirement, and he signed that contract to be their starter first week of the season.
Would it be fair to say, because, you know, nobody's going to mistake Ryan Tannehill for Tom Brady, that with the options they have there and some of the other talent they have both on offense and some of the additions they made on defense, that while this isn't an optimal situation for the Dolphins, all is not lost for the Miami Dolphins?
I wouldn't say all is lost. I don't think, again, and you framed it, I think, pretty accurately, if it was an all-pro quarterback that he's replacing or a Pro Bowl quarterback, someone who, you know, is going to go out there and carry the team, then maybe things would be different. But Ryan Tannehill wasn't a carry-the-team guy. He's never been a carry-the-team guy. He's been the guy they've been waiting to turn the corner, and this was supposed to be that season. So really, what have you lost? You've lost the guy that you were essentially wagering on anyway and didn't know how sure of a thing he was going to be. So just from that standpoint, you know, I think it's out of whack to sit here and say, well, you know, Jay Cutler's so much worse, or, you know, Ryan Tannehill, this was really supposed to be his liftoff season. We don't know any of that. And, you know, again, Jay Cutler, for all of his negatives, and he does have a host of negatives, there's no doubt about it, he's had enough talent to stick in the NFL for a really long time, despite, I think, not being a really favorable guy in the locker room. And to me, in a way, he sort of reminds you of Jeff George. Jeff George is a guy who hung around the NFL for a really long time because he had elite arm talent. Jay Cutler has elite top 5-6 arm talent in the NFL. And when he played under Adam Gase, that was the peak of his career to me. I mean, you look at when he had the span of his career where he cut down on some of the mistakes, he played a little more disciplined football, the offense seemed suited to what he was comfortable with. That was Adam Gase. So, again, it's the best of a lot of bad situations, but it also aligns in a way that when you look back at Cutler's career, there has been some favorable substance to it.
What about we go out to Denver in the Broncos quarterback battle? I mean, Trevor Siemian looks like he's in front for the moment, but as we said, it's only August 7th. How do you see that battle shaken out this year? Does Paxton Lynch take that job, or is he nowhere near ready yet?
Well, he's not taking it. I mean, they want him to take it. John Elway, really, really, the design and the plan in place was, Paxton Lynch was supposed to come in this camp, was supposed to assert himself and essentially seize that job, and it hasn't happened. And, you know, I spent some time there and talked to some people that are breaking down the game film or the practice film of Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. And although I'm sure people will agree with this, they told me flat out, look, Paxton has not won a practice against Trevor. Now, there might be practices where they were close, but he's never beaten Trevor in a practice. Trevor is essentially winning this job. Now, Trevor hasn't been great. He hasn't lit the world on fire. And I absolutely assert that he's winning this by default right now. But the more worrisome aspect of this is that between those two guys, the one who has, at least in, you know, John Elway's eyes, the most upside, the talent and maybe intangibles or raw ability to be special is a Paxton Lynch, but he just isn't figuring it out right now. Now, they haven't played games. As you said, it's August 7th. There's a lot that can happen between now and the beginning of the season. And if he gets into preseason games, if Paxton Lynch is very efficient, he turns it on, and, hey, he's not facing that Broncos defense every day, and all of a sudden there's a whole different look to him, I think he still has an opportunity to take that job. And I make no bones about it. That is what they want. John Elway wants Paxton Lynch to take that job. But I think the coaching staff, if we get into September and he's practicing the way that he's practicing now and turning the ball over, and you've got defensive players who are looking at him saying, hey, man, can't turn the ball over, can't have three and outs, they'll end up going with Trevor Siemian because they'll say, we'll take steady, and we'll figure it out this season, and then maybe we go back to the drawing board next offseason.
I think that's a fair assessment. I also think the reason, and I think you'll agree with me here, the reason they want Paxton Lynch to take this job is they've kind of figured out what Trevor Siemian is. In an ideal situation, he's one of those top-flight backup quarterbacks, but if he's got to start 16 games for you, boy, your defense and everybody else has to do a lot of work to elevate his game to where it needs to be for you to truly compete.
Well, the ceiling's definitely lower than Paxton Lynch. I think you're absolutely dead on. And I think the front office and John Elway in particular, when he looks at those two guys, he says, okay, I know what Trevor is. He's been a pro. He comes in, you know, he's very workmanlike. He handles himself the way you want a pro quarterback to handle himself. But at some point you sort of get down to just the raw ability. And I think they look at him and they say, what we've seen him do, we feel like he's sort of started to maximize what he's working with. And that ceiling ends up being, in their minds, a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback at best. I mean, we're talking absolute best-case scenario. Maybe he's right there at 15th, 16th, 17th in the league in terms of starting quarterbacks, which, hey, not always the worst thing in the world, especially if you have an elite team around him. But I also think John Elway wants what every general manager wants. He wants special. He wants top 10. He wants a guy with a great arm and, you know, who can carry a team through a season when, you know, hey, maybe you should be 7-9, but you've got a great quarterback who can deliver 11-5. I mean, that is the stuff of guys who end up going to Canton. And I think that's what John was. I think that's what he wants. And I think that's what he sees in terms of raw ability in Paxton Lynch. The problem is you got to have everything else to put it together. And that's just not happening. So sometimes you yield to a guy like Trevor Siemian, who doesn't quite have that, but has enough to be maybe a Jake Delhomme. You know, and hey, Jake Delhomme did go to a Super Bowl, and you know, but you got to have an absolute great tuned up team around him.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Looks like Brock Osweiler going to get the Week 1 training exhibition season start. Should we look much into that? And is there any chance that Brock Osweiler is going to earn any of that $20 million he's got due this year?
You know, I see people going back and forth on this about whether he's available or not. I think he's available. You get different people will tell you different things about whether or not the Browns are listening to offers on Brock Osweiler or really whether or not there have even been any legitimate offers or interest in Brock Osweiler. I don't think we're to the point yet where people are really knocking on the door and offering anything of substance for Brock Osweiler. And even in a situation where the Browns eat a lot of that contract, I still don't know if there's a lot of legitimate interest in him anywhere in the NFL as a starter. But I think the Browns are doing what you have to do if you feel like, hey, this is the guy in our quarterback equation who probably is the odd man out. We're going to talk him up. We're going to love him up. We're going to tell people how good he looks. And then we're going to give him an opportunity in the preseason to go out and maybe show a little something. And if Brock Osweiler goes out and he has a solid game and, you know, does really well in the opportunities they give him with the first team options, I think the Browns sit there and now you go, all right, well, we have a Deshone Kizer who we like and who we think might actually factor in at some point this season. We have a Cody Kessler who we still think, you know, has some developmental qualities to him and actually had a pretty solid season as a rookie last year in the games that he did start. And then now we got a Brock Osweiler who we watched in preseason and maybe Brock does have a little something left. So whether there's interest in him or not, maybe now we have three guys to choose from. So worst case scenario, they end up with three quarterbacks and they have to figure out where those guys fit on the depth chart and pick one guy out of there. But then they have options if that guy fails, whoever they pick. Best case scenario is if Brock's the odd guy out, you offer him.
We got about 90 seconds left. Quincy Adunwa goes down for the Jets. I mean, he was the worst number one receiver in the league anyway. But now they're calling me, and I haven't played wide receiver since high school, to see if I'll walk on and give him some reps. Is this going to be the worst offense that we've ever seen in the National Football League?
I don't see any other way that this isn't just an absolute implosion of a season for the Jets. Like, I just don't see any way around it. Like you said, you look at the skill positions around whoever the quarterback ends up being, and if it's Christian Hackenberg, I don't know if there's really anything to like there. If even the guys that have talent are aging. And, you know, Anunua, at least he brought toughness. You know, at least he brought something to the table where he was a try-hard guy. And you can't even keep that guy on the field. So what was already disastrous, you know, in the first place, I mean, looks even worse now. And, I mean, the Jets, to me, we look at them the way we looked at the Browns last season when they were entering the air.
Boy, it's not fun being a Jet fan. Fortunately, I'm a Giant fan. Charles, thanks so much for a few minutes. It's always great to talk to you. The NFL season is here, so we'll be doing a lot more of this. I really appreciate a few minutes, my friend.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure.
Bye-bye now. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. We'll tie a bow around Hour 1 next, so keep it where it is.